You guys can have a seat. Good evening, Regen. My name is also Michael, ironically. But everyone around here calls me Zig. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, porn, people-pleasing, and this week, gluttony. Well, excited to be with you guys tonight. I want to show you something that was a dream of mine that I got to do when I was in college. Most people are surprised when they hear that this was a part of my story, but it was something that I had always wanted to do, and the Lord was really kind to allow me to do it. And so when I was a freshman in college, I got the opportunity to move out to North Carolina in the Outer Banks and teach hang gliding on the same dunes that the Wright brothers flew their first plane on. And so it was fun, but that actually wasn't the dream that I got to accomplish. See, I had been trained on how to fly on the ground and the dunes, and you know, we would get 25, 30 feet up in the air there, but I wanted to fly in the sky. I wanted to fly at altitude. And so part of what I got to do by going out there and working for this company is that on my off days, I got to fly at altitude, meaning a couple thousand feet in the air in a hang glider. And so we've got a picture that I want to show you. And it was incredible. But the thing I quickly learned was that even though I had the desire to experience this, I did not know how to do it. Even though I knew how to fly at the ground, it was different when you go from 10 feet to 100 feet to 1,000 feet. And so the very get-go of my training, my instructor who you see there on the top, was like, hey, you're gonna follow the ultralight. And so where we were, we would get towed up. We weren't jumping off, this isn't the place that we were jumping off mountains. And so there was a string that ran from that ultralight to the front of the hang glider, and it would pull us. And he was like, your job is simply to follow the glide, or I mean, to follow the ultralight. Like, you know how to fly a hang glider. I've watched you do it. Just do that. And as we took off, it took about 30 seconds, and I was nowhere near behind the ultralight. And we popped the string, which it was made to do, and we came down into a field that was about this high with grass, and we didn't crash in, we just landed. And my instructor looked at me and was like, hey, you know what you need to do, but you do not understand how to do it. So tonight, we're going to be talking about something that I think is very similar. As I needed my instructor to help me understand how to fly at altitude, we're going to be talking about step 8, forgive. And the thing with step 8, forgive, is it is a weighty step. Here, let me read what step 8, forgive says. It says, we forgive those who have harmed us and become willing to make amends to those we have harmed. I think there's probably many people in the room who are similar to me with hang gliding, of you desire to forgive someone, or you desire to make amends, but you're not really sure how to get there. And so tonight, I just want to take a few minutes and walk through what forgiveness is and how it comes about in our lives so that we know how to extend forgiveness to others. And so, really, what is forgiveness, what it's not, and how we do it. So, the term forgiveness is pretty straightforward. It means the dismissal or the canceling of a debt. If you have paid attention to the news for 5 minutes these past 4 years, you have heard about forgiveness a lot, because it's been student loan forgiveness. And if you've had student loans, you understand how forgiveness works. Like, you desire for that debt to be canceled. But it doesn't change that the debt still existed and that it had to be canceled or paid. And so we think about this in financial terms a lot. But the reality is that spiritually, this is also true. We experience it in relationships where we are harmed by someone and there is a debt that is created. Or we harm someone and there is a debt that is created. We know that that debt should be paid. And we often will talk about justice, which justice is a right thing. But I want to look at tonight, looking at the foundation verse, how forgiveness actually comes about in our lives. So before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit, just real quick, about what forgiveness is not. So we've said that it is the canceling or the dismissal of a debt, but forgiveness is not excusing or overlooking or forgetting or denying a sin, that a debt has occurred. You can make a mistake. Those can be excused, but a sin requires payment. Forgiveness is not freeing the guilty party of a demand for justice. Forgiveness is not feeling and is not conditional. Forgiveness is not amends, and we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. They're different. Forgiveness is not reestablishing of trust. That happens in reconciliation, which we will talk more about in the coming weeks. And then this last one, forgiveness is not a natural response for us. You see, we often desire justice, but if we're honest, we desire it on our terms, which the scriptures would actually call vengeance. You see, you can't experience justice apart from forgiveness. So the scriptures in Romans 12 actually tell us, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so what we're about to see is how God actually speaks about forgiveness. And so if you have a Bible, you can flip it over, open to Ephesians 4. It's going to be on the screen as well, Ephesians 4, 32 through 51. I'm sorry, through 5:1. It says, this is the foundation verse for step 8. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And so there's a lot of things that we are called to do there, and forgiving is one of them. And so I just want to pause real quick for a second and just acknowledge that we have all been sinned against. We have all been harmed. We have all been the one that has sinned against someone else or harmed someone else. But there are also differing degrees of that. And so if that's a part of your story where you have felt significant harm from someone, this can feel overwhelming. This can feel like something that is not possible. This can feel like something that maybe you can never fully heal from. And my hope in what we're about to look at, two specific points from this verse, is that it gives you hope that God can heal you from that. That God actually does want to provide a way for forgiveness. And then there may be some in the room and you're on the other end of that. You were the one who committed the harm. And I want you to know that what we're about to talk about applies to you as well. That it actually provides hope for you. It actually makes the second part of the foundation, of the step statement, that we can seek to make amends possible. And so, back to Ephesians 4:32. So two things that we're going to look at. The first is that we have to realize, to understand what it means to forgive others, horizontal relationships, that we must start with an understanding of how God has forgiven us. Said differently, forgiveness begins with God before it can be extended to others. You see, the scriptures are very clear that we have incurred a debt called sin against God, that he is a perfect, holy, right, and good God, and that we have been living in rebellion to him. That we haven't simply wronged him once or twice, but that we have literally turned and run from him, that we have sinned against him. And the scriptures also teach us that sin requires a payment. For God to be a just God, he cannot simply overlook it. He cannot forget about it. He can't sweep it to the side. That there must be payment for sin. And so a debt has incurred. But by God's grace and in his mercy, he sent his son, who lived a perfect life, sinless, meaning he did not incur a single debt toward God, that he was righteous before God. but yet he died on the cross, taking our place and taking on the punishment for our sin. You see, the cross is not simply God's mercy. It's actually the fulfillment in which God pours out his wrath on Christ. Christ takes the entire weight of the punishment that we deserve. And that's the beauty of the resurrection, is that Christ, not only did he die for our sins, but after 3 days, he rose again, showing that he had conquered Satan, sin, and death, and fully satisfied the wrath of God. Like, that is good news for us. It says in Colossians 2, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." And so when we begin to understand what forgiveness is, we first have to look at how God has forgiven us. When I was learning to hang glide, one of the hardest lessons that I had and that many others have is understanding what to trust in. And so you see, when you're in a hang glider, you're laying in a harness, and that harness is clipped into a rope that is hanging from the center of the glider. And so everything in your mind tells you that you are supported. But when you get a couple hundred feet off of the ground, your body naturally wants to support itself. And so it grabs on to the control bars. And it's often that you try to lift yourself up. And one of the first lessons a good instructor gives you is that they tell you to let go of the glider. Now, if you're 1,000 feet in the air, the last thing you want to do is let go of the very thing that you think is supporting you. But the crazy thing is, when you let go, you begin to realize all of your weight is not supported by you hanging on. It's actually supported by the harness. And you let go, and the glider actually goes to what's called trim speed, and it flies itself. You're just hanging there. And what the instructor is trying to teach me, or trying to teach me and teach people in that situation, is that your control in this is not to completely support yourself. Your control is simply to guide where we go. You literally fly a hang glider often by 3 fingers on each side. It's incredible. You're just moving your way. But everything in you wants to believe that you've got to hang on tight. And so I think that is what we experience when we look at where we go from here. So if we understand that God has forgiven us, that he simply hasn't left us there, that he actually invites us into a new way of living. So I don't know what brought you here, but my guess is you desire to change from it. And it is because of Christ and in Christ that we experience change. And so when we experience the forgiveness of God, we should then begin to forgive others. We only forgive because we have been forgiven. And so as forgiven people, what does it mean to forgive? I love how the Region curriculum actually states it. It says on page 52 of the Step 8 book, "To forgive as Christ forgave you is to trust Christ's blood was enough payment for your own sins and the sins committed against you. Forgiveness is giving up your demand for justice. It's a decision to give your claim for justice to God through Christ. The decision is between you and God alone." So we like to think about forgiveness when it comes to relationships as if we've got to hang on to something. And what God wants us to see is that he actually wants us to let go and to trust him. That he is the one that is supporting us. That he is actually now providing for us a new way to live, that we may experience the life that he intends for us. Do you know how you get rid of being bitter? You forgive. Do you know how you stop being angry? You forgive. Do you know how you escape fear? You forgive and you trust God. Ultimately, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is an act of faith in God that frees us to love others wisely. You see, when we experience the forgiveness that God has shown us, then we get to extend that forgiveness, knowing that God is the one who will ultimately execute justice. And it frees us to love a person. And when I say love, what I mean is it is to desire for them to experience the same forgiveness that we have experienced in Christ. When you are angry or bitter or mad at someone, it is hard to want to see them experience the love of Christ. It's the opposite, in fact. You want vengeance, but when you give that over to God and you trust him that he is the one that will ultimately execute justice, then you can begin to love the person, to point them to Christ, that they might come to know the goodness of our God, that they would see their sin for what it is, confess it, repent, and begin to walk in newness of life, just like we do after we have experienced forgiveness. And so, forgiveness isn't something that we simply do on our own power. It's actually an act of faith that we live out before the Lord, in which we trust him, we obey him, we begin to live as he has called us so that we may be able to love others. So tonight you're gonna get the opportunity to hear from my friend Brian about how he has experienced the love of God and the forgiveness of God and how it has changed everything about his life. Would you please welcome Brian to the stage?